If you'd like to open, as we continue in 2 Kings chapter 4, we looked at verses 1 to 7 last week for the increase of the widow's oil, and now we come to the Shunammite woman, So 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll be going through verses 8 to 17. That's verses 8 to 17. Now we see in our text here today a woman who showed hospitality to a servant of God. And both her and her husband remained true to God in times that were irreverent and wicked. And Jotham the king, he was a worshipper of Baal, and he was reigning over the land. And his mother, or what we would call the queen mother, was that evil and wicked Jezebel. Now, this wouldn't have been an easy time for those who followed and remained true to God. And wouldn't have been easy to live in at all. And remember, Elijah, he had complained to God that only he remained of those who worshipped God, and God reminded him that there were 7,000 others who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And that's 1 Kings 19. And our text today, this woman and her husband were numbered among those 7,000. Now, you may be living in a home or having to associate with people who are not just indifferent to God and his claims upon them, but are definitely opposed to God. And at times, you and I may be tempted to think that, hang on a minute, the going's a little bit tough. It's just too hard, or what's the point of trying? Well, we need to remember 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." 2 Chronicles 16:9 reminds us, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect before him." Now, text today, starting in verse 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." We see this woman is called a great woman. A great woman. The Hebrew word there for great is elder or older, or someone who is exceedingly noble. And this is the type of woman she was. And she was noticing Elisha passing by, and she there constrained him to come in. In other words, she strongly encouraged Elisha to come into her home and to eat with her and her husband. And verse 9, "And she said to her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." You know, what a testimony to the character of the prophet Elisha. His conduct, his conversation showed him to be a man who was holy. It wasn't laced with gossip. It wasn't laced with guile or evil speaking. It was evident God was with him, and that he lived near to God. Elisha didn't leave his faith at home. He took it with him. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. And what a lesson that is for us Christians today. To be recognized as holy in word and deed. Now, there's not much reality in our religion if we do not confess it by the words and actions amongst the strangers, as we do have to do with, and those also who know us. Do our relatives, Do our friends see us as we are in the home and at work and school? Do they recognize us as a people of God? Or, as Matthew 5:15 reminds us, have we hid our light under a bushel? You see, the inward character is shown by the outward acts. The benefit for this couple wasn't all on Elisha's side. You know, we can imagine how much this contact with God's prophet meant to this couple. It just wasn't one way. It wasn't just for Elisha, but for this couple also, how they would talk about the things of the Lord while Elisha taught them even more. And I can speak from experience on this matter. When we lived a couple of hours out of Sydney in Goulburn, we were pastoring in Goulburn, there was a holy man of God who, like Elisha, travelled Australia, travelled the world. He was known for the man with a suitcase. And he ministered to churches and people. His name was Gilbert Anger. And whenever he headed south out of Sydney, he would give us a call and he would come by and we would have food and we would have fellowship together. Our home was his first stop when he headed south. And we were always greatly encouraged by his ministry and his teaching. And he was a holy man of God. And we see this woman here has the same experience. And she comes to her husband in verse 10 and she says, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." See, this home set aside a special place so that every time Elisha passed by, he could come in without any worries whether he was intruding or whether he had to knock on the door and check if it was okay. No, he could come in, he could find rest and comfort, a place if necessary, he's got a table and so forth there, where he could even do some work. And what an encouraging thing that would have been for him. And do we, like this lady of Shimon, love to show kindness to the people of God? It may not be within our means or our power to provide a room and so forth, but there are other ways we can be helpful. And I'm sure if we thought long enough and if we thought hard enough and if we thought with humility and meekness, we will find that we can help support them. Hebrews 13:2 reminds us, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Galatians 6:10, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, if our Lord were upon this earth right now, how gladly we would minister to his earthly needs. We would have no problem at all. We would count it not only a duty, but a great privilege and an honor, and we would do it with joy. Now, we need to remember when we minister to his people, we are in fact ministering to him. Matthew 25:40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." There are some who like to come in and they like to bring trouble. They like to bring strife. They like to sow discord, harbour envies and jealousies. They bring unpleasantness and unhappiness. Their words and their actions, their deeds are motivated solely for self. And what an unenviable character to have. In fact, if you want to look at a character that's unenviable, read Proverbs 6:16-19. those who sow discord, where God hates that. He doesn't like those who are swift to run to mischief, those who shed innocent blood, the gossipers. What an unenviable character. And as God's children, we should be known as God's children, looking after one another and caring for one another, because when we do it, we're doing it under Him. Amen. And we come to see Elisha's gratitude for this, for his care by this woman. Look at verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Notice there, Elijah's been greatly touched by how this woman was supplying and caring for him. He noted the extras that she went to. He saw the care that she had. It wasn't just a room with somewhere for him to lay down. No, she not only had a bed ready for him, she had a table, a chair, she had some lighting, all ready to go. And we have to remember, Elisha was by no means a well-off man. When he went into the ministry, he left it all behind. In fact, in 1 Kings 19:19, so he departed thence and found Elisha. The he there is Elijah. So Elijah comes along and he finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. We've seen Elisha with this yoke of oxen. So he had things, he had possessions, he had a good income coming in. And what does he do when the Lord taps on his shoulder? He takes those things, he cooks up all the meat, he burns all the instruments that the oxen would use to plow the lands, he gets rid of everything. Why? Because when he went to serve God, he didn't want to leave anything he could run back to. I'm called to serve God. I don't want a treasure left that if it gets too hard, I can get out and run back. He didn't want that. He wanted to serve his God wholeheartedly. He gave it all up. He said, nah, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow this man, serve the Lord, and I'm not going to have nothing to fall back on. I'll trust God. I'm going to serve the living God, regardless of the cost to me. I wonder how many of us are prepared to do that. Do you notice the Lord tapping you on the shoulder to serve in some way? Regardless of the conditions of his life, he would serve the Lord and trust the Lord to take care of him. And this woman's hospitality wasn't any ordinary hospitality. You see, she hasn't shown hospitality to someone we would say is respectable, well known, someone with lots of things, well off and so forth. How would I put it? The more respectable in a worldly sense, the more welcome you are. She didn't do that, not at all. You see, genuine hospitality as we see it here before us looks out for those who are not so well off, those who are poor, those who are in true need. You know, we're reminded in Luke 14:13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You know, James 2:19, we're reminded that we're not to give the best seats to those who are rich and neglect the poor. Luke 14:7-14 says, you know, for those who are well off, don't go grabbing the best seats. Think of those who are less, not as good off, not as well off. Maybe it's time that some of us burn our oxen, burn all the equipment we're hanging on to just in case things don't work out for us, and trust God and His call upon our lives. Verse 13 of our text, we read, and he said unto him, this is Elisha talking to his servant Gehazi, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. When people take care of you, when people are looking after you, when people have a care and concern for you, like Elisha, we should feel grateful and express our gratitude. But he went a step further. He wished to show it. And how this show of gratitude must have encouraged and warmed this home and this woman's heart. And I want to ask you something. I'm glad there's a few young ones here. I want you young ones to pay attention to me for a moment. Look up. That includes you two boys at the back. Yep. Do we remember to express our attitude to those who have given us so much? Have you expressed your gratitude to your parents who bring you to church each Sunday? Have you expressed your gratitude to your parents who clothe you and feed you and bring you to the kids' club and youth groups? Have you expressed your gratitude for them taking care of you in the home and providing a roof over your head? The sacrifice parents make for you, thank them, they'll appreciate it. Husbands, have you thanked your wife for their sacrifices every day? The things that go unnoticed. We wake up, we get dressed, we go out, and we don't even think for a moment, how did all that happen? Well, there's a wife behind the scene who's got it all ready. Wives to husbands, for the leadership they show in the home, bringing you to prayer and Bible study. Have we shown appreciation and gratitude for those things? And I'm talking about real gratitude. Do we not tend to keep our words of praise, our words of appreciation to ourselves, and simply assume to those we should be thankful to, oh, they know what we think anyway? Who knows how many hearts are just longing to hear a word of praise and appreciation? A child, a young one, waiting to hear, thanks for doing that for us. Thanks for cleaning up your room or working in the yard. Well, how many children are waiting to hear from their parents, well done, guys. We appreciate the pressure you're under. We're thankful for your obedience. Tell them. Let them know. Did not the Lord say in Luke 17, he says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? You know, Elisha wished to prove his gratitude. What is to be done for thee? Verse 13. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. This is an amazing verse of scripture. Elisha saying, can I go and tell the king? He can reward you. He can do a lot of things for you. What about the captain? He can watch over yous, look after yous. Can I go and tell them what you've done for me here? Is there anything I can do for you? You know, when someone's helping us, it's one thing to express our gratitude. It's quite another thing to prove it. Quite another to prove it. She answered, and look what she says, I dwell among mine own people. Here we have a woman, verse 8. She was a great woman, but now we see her and we see why she was so great, and that is because she's a humble woman. A humble woman. She had no desire for the king to know, for the captains to know. She had no desire to have any fame for what she was doing. No desire to get on in the circles of society. She didn't want to be well known. She was a great woman because she's a humble woman. She was a woman who could see things that others couldn't see. Who was prepared to go to her husband, and what a lovely man he must have been, because he's listened to his wife. There's a stroke of genius. And they provided for God's prophet. And she's content. I dwell among my own people. She's content to serve God amongst her own people where she was. To put to use what God had blessed her with and use it for God's glory. You know, 1 Timothy 1, 6 to 8 tells us, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. What a wonderful passage that is. Are we contented? Now, I've worked for many, many millionaires in my line of work over the years, and I've always felt sorry for them in the end. We had one man with the original Fairfax Mansion in Australia, beautiful building, every brick brought out from England. And we were walking through his garden one day, discussing what trees had to come out and so forth, and he stopped me and grabbed hold of me. He said, Dennis, he says, I wouldn't know what to do if I lost it all. And he just fretted all the time about losing what he had. And when I shared the witness with them, you can have it all, but if you lose your own soul, that's the end of it. And him and his wife said to me, they said, well, we don't have to get on our knees. Oh, wow, I'll just leave it at that then. And another man, he's a blessed man, and he ended up saved a year or so ago. And he had plenty. And to look at him, you wouldn't think he had $10. And he's a different man altogether. And one day I went to work and I pulled up and I saw something in the tree. And I'm going, what's that? It was a bush, a camellia bush. And I went over and it's a $50 note. I said, this is all right, because I found another one on the ground beside it. And as I looked around, I ended up finding four $50 notes. So I knocked on his door and I said, Mark. And he said, yes, Dennis. And I said, that's the best bush I've ever come across in my whole life. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's producing $50 notes. And he says, oh, did you find them? He says, the wind blew it all away and I just couldn't be bothered trying to find them. And he said, just keep them. Now, there's a man who knows how to handle money. Just keep them. Elisha wished to prove his gratitude. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, let your conversation be without covetousness and be with content, such thing as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a gift. What a treasure. And Elisha asks his servant, and he asks him, what can be done for this woman? And Gehazi spoke of her one great need. Now listen, it does not say the woman went to him with the need. Gehazi is also a servant of God, Elisha's servant. He could see that this woman needed something. And he said, verse 14, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child and her husband is old. You know, there was one great thing they desired most, that they would appreciate most, and that was a child to gladden their hearts. Now, we have to understand something here. This was a major thing in a Jewish home. A major thing. Many hoped that their child would be the Messiah. And this is a big thing for them. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Now, when she was ministering to Elisha, to the prophet and his servant, we can be sure she had no thought of being rewarded. She didn't do it for rewards. Now, she could hardly believe what Elisha is now saying to her. And notice she says there, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And we have to understand, these are not words of unbelief. These are words of faith, seeking even a greater assurance of what he's told her. It's like someone says, look, I'm going to promise to do this for you. You go, really, are you? You're not having me on, you sure? This is all she's saying. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. You know, what a lesson we learn, that to show great kindness to God's people will not go without reward. Matthew 10:41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, whatever we can do, do. God will take care of it. Now, the reward may not come in the way we anticipate it to come, but it will come in a way that it will be best for those and will be generally above all that we ever think and ask for. Ephesians 3:20. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up and burn and leave behind to reach out to those, not just who are well respected and so forth, but to those who may, how do I say, make us feel like we're rubbing the dog the wrong way and a bit prickly. We love them, we reach out to them, and we minister to them. What a great reward God will give to us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons of this great man, Elisha. We thank you for the treasures that are in your scripture. And we pray that the Holy Spirit has ministered to all our hearts today. And that we, Lord, not think more highly of ourselves than we should do, but we would be esteeming one another above ourselves in the love of the Lord. Father, we pray for an opportunity to do so, and Lord, that you receive the glory for it. Thank you for taking care of our lives. Thank you for your provision upon us, your protection over us, and the final reward, Lord, of eternal glory with you. Lord, may we truly think about the life we live today, and that we live it for your name's sake. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.